Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
We need to have the word first so that we sound like we're in victory, because we sound like we just got out of bed this morning. Have a seat. Turn to Joshua chapter 1. Put your seatbelt on. No, take your seatbelt off. Okay. I'm just going to share some things this morning that if we swap over to the other thing. Okay. Is that all right? Is that working? Hello? Is this working? Is this on? Great, cool. Over the last, since last Tuesday, the Lord's been speaking to me about possessing land or taking ground and taking what is ours already. Not asking Him to take ground that He's already given us, but speaking about possessing things and taking ground. So I want to just start in Joshua here. These are very well-known verses, some of these, but let's try not to come with a preconceived kind of idea of what we're going to talk about. In Joshua 1 here, just read the first bit. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. And this is what we want to look at. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Now, that word set there is a really interesting word, because when you look at the word set and what it actually means, it doesn't mean where you just walk, because you can easily just walk over something and it doesn't mean anything and it comes to nothing. But the word set there means to make a mark, to put a footprint somewhere, or to establish something. The word set there means to tread, to go over. Okay, and this is the thing that really caught me. The word tread there, or the word set, means, you know when you've got a bow and arrow? It means to take a bow, and when they used to pull their bows, they used to hold the string, have the wooden bit on the ground, and they used to put their foot on it, and it's called treading or setting, okay? Then you get hold of the wire, and you pull it up, and you obviously put the arrow, you get the whole thing ready. And so what that word there, set or tread, means, it's to set yourself to hit the target. What a great meaning. So if we read that verse, it says, I will give you every place where you set yourself and get ready for the target. Anyway, I'm having a great time because I've been like praying through and reading some of this stuff last night and this morning. I will give you every place where you set yourself, get yourself ready, make a footprint, and aim at the target. As I promised Moses, your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates. God was just describing the boundaries of what was going to be theirs, and all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. What was God saying to him? He's saying, look, here are the boundaries. You've had one generation of time and certain things have happened. But now in this time, you're going to establish things, make a footprint. You're going to aim at something and hit it. That only, before you've been on your way there, but now is the time to hit that target and see those things established and see those things happen. And what God is kind of saying to Joshua is, look, it's going to look different than how it's looked before. It's going to be different, but you've got to set yourself, get yourself ready. Make sure that the bow is fully pulled and that you've got yourself fully on the target, because something's about to be released. It's going to hit the target. And as you set yourself and move into that, you're going to accomplish it. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. We've had generations of promises in Kingdom Faith, and the church and the nation has had generational promises that God wants to begin to fulfill, not just to the church, but now to see the nation turned around. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore, not just the church, but the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all of the law my servant Moses gave you. What's he talking about? He said, you've got a fantastic foundation. You've got an awesome history and inheritance. Don't forget that. Don't look away from that. Don't despise that. But actually, the reason why you can go into what you're doing is because that is going to catapult you into establishing in this next generation of time what I'm going to do. So be strong and very courageous. You can be strong because of what you've come from. You can be courageous because of the history and the inheritance of what you have. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. When God defines the boundary lines, that means within those boundary lines, wherever we go, we will be successful. Now, God has drawn boundary lines for us. I know people will be downloading this, and I hope you're going to get something out of this and the principles of what we're talking about. But there's certain boundary lines God has given us. One is our town. The second is the 25-mile radius. The third part of that is the nation, but God seems to be breaking that down into regions. And he's talking to us about the southwest, about Yorkshire, the northeast up there. And there's a number of churches in the northwest and a number in the Midlands. And God seems to be talking about regions. And so he's defining geographical boundaries like he did in Joshua. But he says, wherever you tread, wherever you go, you will have success. Because I've determined boundaries for you. And so wherever you set yourself, wherever you put a footprint, wherever you set yourself to hit the target, things are going to go well with you. You will have success and you will gain that ground and see fulfilled everything that I've promised you. Amen. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, verse 8, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Now there's two parts to treading, possessing, establishing. And the two things are prayer and obedience. And they go hand in hand. You can't have prayer without obedience, and you can't have obedience without prayer. Right. The two go hand in hand. What does prayer do? Prayer establishes the victory. Prayer determines the capacity of what you're going to walk into. The prayer determines the environment or the canopy or the covering of what is going on. Yeah. When you look at Isaiah 54, just for a minute, very well-known verses, it says here, sing, O barren woman, you who never bore a child, verse 1. Burst into song and shout for joy. So this is a command before she's even seen anything. It's saying here, burst into song, shout for joy, you who are never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband. We're going to see more rejoicing in the nation that has never known God than we've ever seen in the church that does know God. There's going to be more the sound of rejoicing and singing and praising as the nation gets impacted with the kingdom than we've ever known in the church. It's pretty awesome, isn't it? Because more of the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband. Now listen to this. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. Where does that start? It starts in prayer. The prayer determines the capacity of how we move, and the prayer determines the degree of the fruitfulness that we walk into and we have and we possess. Okay? So the prayer extends all the possibilities, and then our actions or our obedience walk into that canopy or that covering or the size of it, so that we can then fill out that space with what has already been established in the spirit or in prayer. Okay? Then it says, for you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations. What we're about is not just about results today, but we're about the descendants, the generations that are coming up and the ones that are coming after, so that we're going to see a dispossession of nations through the descendants that are coming up after us. So we're in a generational thing here. Amen.
Come on.
Do not be afraid. You will not suffer shame. Do not fear disgrace. You will not be humiliated. You will forget the shame of your youth and remember no more the reproach of your widowhood. For your Maker is your husband. The Lord Almighty is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. He is called the God of all the earth. The Lord will call back as if you were a wife deserted and distressed in spirit, a wife who is married and young, only to be rejected, says your God. There's a whole load of stuff in Isaiah 54 there. But what we need to understand, first of all, the prayer and obedience, or prayer and action. And the prayer establishes that canopy, that covering, but it's so that all the descendants that God wants to bring in have room within what is spread out. So in the prayer, we're making room for what God wants to do. We're making room for all of those descendants that are not here yet at this time to come into everything that God has purposed and promised. And the obedience, the second part, is the action, okay? I want us to turn to Job 29 for a minute. One of the things that the Lord, I suppose, has been speaking to about over the last few days, since last Tuesday in particular, is about marking out some territory. So God has spoken about territory, okay, regions, town, 25-mile radius, other regions in the nation and so on. And what I felt God say to me, he said, I want you to walk around the territories that I've given you, and I want you to mark out what I've told you is yours. Yep. So I just want to read something that I wrote down the other day, or part of it anyway. Just say, I want you to mark out some territory in prayer. The town, first of all. Go down to the town. Walk through the streets, the walkways, the shops, etc. As you go, release my purposes into the town. Demand the dead to be given up, the lost to be found, the sick to be healed, the broken to be restored, and the hurting to be relieved. Repeat this same thing in the housing areas. Walk through different housing areas in the town doing the same thing. As you do this, walls of the enemy will come down. The power of his gripping lives will be loosened, cut off, and broken. And as you go, declare and decree my will and my purpose. And what I felt God say to me, he said, you're not going to get ground that doesn't belong to you. You're going to mark the territory that is already yours. And one of the other things he's been saying to me, he said, if you are a leader, spiritually, if you're a church leader, then you have the right of leadership in your town. And so you need to walk through the streets of your town, whether it's the center of town or the neighborhoods or whatever. You need to walk through those, not with a thinking of, God, we want you to move here, we want to do something, but walking through, like, this is my town, these are my streets, and I'm just declaring and decreeing over this place the promises, the purposes, and all of these things that God has been saying. What a great phrase, demand the dead to be given up. Demand the dead to be given up. I was like, yeah, come on, and all the other things that go with that. And that needs to be repeated, whether it's locally in the 25-mile road. We need to do, I'm not just talking about prayer walking here, okay? I'm not just talking about walking around awesome Shundine a little bit, and, I sense there's a spirit of this around the place, and, you know, over that shop and all of that. Well, it might be, but what I feel God's saying, it's not about prayer walking. You're going to mark territory. And you're actually walking around like you're in charge. Right. And you're walking around saying, this is my town. I decree this. I declare that. I command this. I release this. Give up the dead. I release healing. I command every restriction to be broken, whatever it might be. But it's marking out the territory in the town. Okay? Now, when we look through this chapter in Job, There's just some things that I feel, you know, obviously we know are already going on. But as I read through this, it was interesting some of the parallels that we're just going to look at. This is Job. In some ways, he's looking back at the position in the city that he had before everything was kind of taken from him. But this is what God is doing with us as we read it through at this time. And this is what I believe God wants to do with the church in general. Verse 7 onwards of Job 29. When I went to the gate of the city and took my seat in the public square, the young men saw me and stepped aside, and the old men rose to their feet. The chief men refrained from speaking and covered their mouths with their hands. The voices of the nobles were hushed, and their tongues stuck to the roof of their mouths. Whoever heard me spoke well of me, and those who saw me commended me. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? But then it goes on to give the reasons why he was held in that regard. Because I rescued the poor who cried for help. Now, there's certain things that we're doing in some ways, reaching out to different types of people, certain ministries or things that are developing. And you can see some of them paralleled here in what is going on. And as a result of the things that we're doing in terms of the action side of it, in the territory that God has given us, what we've just read from verses 7 down to 11 is happening in different ways to certain degrees, where people in authority or people in the community or whatever are talking to different people, different ones of us, or saying things because of what is going on, okay? Because I rescued the poor who cried for help and the fatherless who had none to assist him. Now, in that verse there, in one sense, we can cover a number of things. We work with children, we work with young people, and you can kind of put the Child Contact Center in there in terms of working with the fatherless who have no one to assist them. Some of the children, some of the young people, and certainly with the contact center, there are a number of people that are fatherless. They feel like they've been cut off from relationship, from everything, you know, that's destabilizing their lives. And this guy was given this place in the city because of his obedience to what God had called him to. Because I rescued the poor who cried for help and the fatherless who had none to assist him. That can cover some of the J24/7 stuff, some of the youth work in terms of reaching young people and children that wouldn't be reached in any other context. The Child Contact Center providing a place where those that are fathers can be reunited in relationship with their father. The man who was dying blessed me. I made the widow's heart sing. The man who was dying blessed me. One of the things that is beginning to come out, particularly in South Homes, for example, is how many people live in isolation and how many blokes are living on their own. How many guys have either been drug addicts or it's just wrecked their lives and they just live within four walls and they don't want to come out of those four walls. And there's increasingly men that we're coming into contact with, particularly in South Homes, like that. And you can see the man who was dying, bless me. Now, some of these guys, they're dying in their own lives because of what's going on in them. And as people have been connecting with them and reaching into their lives, something's beginning to happen. There's just the first glimmer of hope coming into their lives because somebody's gone into their four walls and established some kind of relationship to begin to help them out of where they are into where God wants them to be. Somebody said to me on Sunday, chatting, who lives in South Homes, he talked about Dave Fraser being like the pastor of South Homes. And just some of the things he said so fit in with that. The man who was dying, bless me. What this guy basically was saying, he said, I want to thank you as a church for what you are doing in South Homes. The people that have visited me. Do you know what I mean? Basically what he was saying is bless you. Bless you for coming to where we live and beginning to help us. There's people dying, but the ones who are dying are turning around saying, bless you for coming to bring us out of what we're in and into something that you're into. I made the widow's heart sing, the tea dance, working with the elderly. It's all here. And there's certain things we're doing with the elderly, certain ways we're reaching into their lives, okay? And some of the older people, the widow's heart sings. There's some people that have given their lives to the Lord over the last period of time that are in the older echelons of our community. And they're beginning to sing because of what God is doing in their lives, okay? I put on righteousness as my clothing. Justice was my robe and my turban. Elizabeth, that's your verse there. Verse 14. I put on righteousness as my clothing. Justice was my robe and my turban. That's what Elizabeth represents in terms of what she's doing in terms of the laws and certain things and all this stuff to do with the nation. God has clothed her with righteousness and justice and with this turban or whatever. I didn't have time to look up what that thing meant in terms of, but that for me, that verse is what Elizabeth's doing. It's interesting. When you go through, I'm thinking, man, there's one verse after the other that, and it's not like, oh, we've got to do these things. God's like, you're already doing them. You're already reaching into these lives. You're already, and you're beginning to see the beginnings of some people in authority or whatever saying, can you help us? Or, you know, please don't stop this because it will leave a huge hole and various other things. So that's your verse, Elizabeth. God has clothed you with righteousness and justice also, it says, is your robe because of what you're standing up for and what you're, you know, the bow that you've put on the ground and what you've pulled up and the place that you've set and the thing you're aiming at, that's your verse, all right? And that's our verse for what Elizabeth's involved in and what we're collectively involved in. I was eyes to the blind and feet to the lame. Now, I felt God say that's all of the stuff that we're doing with the lighthouse and with the special needs people and all of that kind of thing. People would look at their lives and we can talk about healings and miracles and everything. But in one sense, you can look in the natural at those people's lives and say their lives are lame. There's something that is not fully functioning properly in their lives. And I just felt God say that verse is for what is happening in terms of special needs, in terms of mental health, that we are eyes to the blind and feet to the lame, helping them to have their lives completely reestablished, their eyes opened. Physical healing, miracles, all of that kind of stuff that we're beginning to see in a greater dimension. Then it was, I was the father to the needy. I took up the case of the stranger. In one sense, the father of the needy. We can again encompass the child contact center. But the next thing here, I took up the case of the stranger. That's what's going on in Tinsley. There's the stranger who's a foreigner trying to come into the land, or they've been asked to leave the land and all of that. And we're taking up the case of the stranger. Not that we're necessarily not trying to get people in the country that shouldn't be here, but those that are they have a case that is going through, whether they can stay or not. It's in that place. We're going to visit them. We're going to meet them. And it's saying, hey, in the midst of whatever you're going through, whether you stay or whether you have to go, there's somebody that can stay with you or somebody that can go with you, depending on what happens to you. So I took up the case of the stranger. Listen to this one. I broke the fangs of the wicked and snatched the victims from their teeth. Now that is the prayer and the intercession. That is the spirit of prayer. Because the spirit of prayer, the intercession, breaks the fangs of the wicked and snatches the victims from their teeth. What an awesome verse, eh? So that's our intercession and prayer. We've got a 24-hour prayer strategy that is about to burst open. And the prayer training that's been going on is gathering some momentum. And there's some things just coming into place with all of that. Okay, and so we're going to see even greater fruitfulness. You know, one of the things that JD's been talking about quite a bit is where there's been consistent prayer, we're seeing consistent fruit. And where there's consistent prayer, there's not just consistent fruit, but there's increasing fruit because the consistent prayer is building a momentum, a greater momentum. Where there's sporadic prayer, you get sporadic fruit. But yet God is saying there needs to be a consistency, right, more of a week in, week out, day in, day out, ongoing, hitting, to see greater fruitfulness, greater release, a greater dimension of God's kingdom breaking out in all of these different areas. And so one of the things with the prayer strategy that we're doing and looking at is that everything we're doing where God has told us to put your feet there, that the prayer in all of those areas is what it needs to be. That we're not asking God to bless what we're doing and hopefully we have a good time, but we are saying, right, we are setting ourselves, we are pulling back the bow, we are taking aim because we're setting ourselves to hit the target right in the middle. And the prayer that goes with that needs to be the kind of prayer that breaks the fangs of the wicked and snatches the victims from their teeth. And then the obedience or the action of what we do then goes and sees that actually take place in their lives. But the canopy or the size of that and the environment is determined, right, by the kind of prayer, right, that goes on to create the space for them people to grow into, come into. Right. Verse 18. I thought I will die in my own house. My days as numerous as the grains of sand. I couldn't get anything for that. So leave that one for a minute. If you've got revelation on that, let me know and we'll add it to the tape later. Verse 19. Well, you die in your house if you don't do anything. If you just, maybe this will be it then. If you live your life around your own things, you'll end up, your house will stink because you don't open the windows, don't open the doors, don't open the curtains. You'll end up living in your own house and your food will go off, everything will go mouldy. So maybe, I don't know if that means that, but that will do for now anyway. There's a quick thought on a verse in the Bible. My roots will reach the water and the dew will lie all night on my branches. I thought that was awesome. With what God has been saying to us about just continue to dig that well for that never-ending supply. Look at this. The dew will lie all night on my branches. Even at night, God is going to be at work. Even at night, while we're asleep, God is going to be working in people's lives and visiting them in dreams and visions, whether he wakes them up and he reveals himself, or whether they're in the middle of a sleep, whatever's going on, God is saying, I'm going to be at work even when you're asleep. Amen. Come on.
Love it.
Some of you look really happy. Some of you, I don't know, not sure. Anyway. My roots will reach to the water and the dew will lie all night on my branches. What a great verse. My glory will remain fresh. What's that? My glory will remain fresh. What's that? Every day, worship, meet with God, get in the presence of God so that the glory on our lives remains fresh every day. There's a fresh, it's interesting how it comes after the verse, my roots will reach the water, which gives life, and the dew will lie all night on my branches. So there's something, you know, going on all night, right? But my glory remains fresh because of that constant wanting to be in the glory, worshipping God. See, one of the things I felt God say as well, and we probably know this already, but it's like, why? Partly the Lord said to me this morning, he said, why do I constantly encourage you to worship me, to get into the glory, to meet with me, to just press in there, to never be half-hearted, but to always be fully kind of engaged in everything you're doing, but particularly in the worship, really give yourself. And when, you know, the Lord said, why have I asked him? Straight away he told me, he didn't wait for me to give an answer. But he said, because what you're doing is you're pulling heaven down on earth.
Come on.
He said, when you're worshipping me, what you're doing is you're pulling heaven down on earth. You're not just coming up into the glory and having a great time. You're coming up into the glory so that then you're pulling the glory of God down into every one of these things that we've been talking about. And that's why the glory remains fresh upon our lives, because there's that fresh daily encounter with God, that fresh pressing in there with God, that dew that we wake up to, that freshness of God. Then look at this. This is fantastic because it links in. I didn't realize this when I was looking at this until I read the verse. It links in with what we read in Joshua there. Look at this next part of the verse. The bow ever new in my hand. Yes to what? What on earth does that mean? What? This is great. My glory will remain fresh, but the bow will be ever new in my hand. What does that mean? That daily, God wants to see us have victories and see change in people's lives. That we never go a day without something happening in people's lives. Or even, we never go through one day where something doesn't happen through one of us. I don't mean just one out of 50, but every one of us sees something happen in somebody else's life every day. Because the bow in your hand, because you're setting your foot in a certain place and you're like, right, I'm stretching out. And that's what I'm going for as part of the big picture to see the whole thing happen. My bow is ever new. There's nothing stale. There's nothing old. It's not something that's wearing out. It's something that has got the full capacity, the full stretch. It's like a brand new bow every day, pulling it out, letting the thing go. The bow ever new in my hand. Men, listen to me expectantly, waiting in silence for my counsel. And this is going back now to the fruit of what he's been doing. After I'd spoken, they spoke no more. My words fell gently on their ears. Interesting. Jesus was pretty full on, wasn't he, with the religious leaders. But with those that didn't know him, in terms of the unsaved, if we put it that way, full of compassion, full of grace, always extended his hand and his arm, always had time for the lost. He didn't have time for religion. He was pretty hard on it, wasn't he? You brood of vipers and you whatever perverse generation and all that sort of thing. But yet, with those that were lost, his words fell gently on their ears. Why? Because there was no condemnation. There was no judgment in his words, but his words were full of compassion, full of grace, full of love. And partly, I suppose, some of the thinking maybe is that we're not here to correct everything. We're not here to tell everybody. We're not here to tell people what they're doing wrong and what needs correcting and why they're all this, that and the other. It's not our place to stand up on a soapbox and say, you're wrong about this, you're wrong about that, and you know, and all of that. Jesus didn't come on a soapbox and tell them all where they've gone wrong. He addressed the issue of the heart. You know? Now, there's things we need to speak out about and bring the word of the Lord on and all of that kind of thing. But what we're talking about is not having a heart of judgment or criticism or whatever, that we're not coming in that way. And because of the favour that was on Job's life, because of what he was doing and the way the other people, civic leaders or those in authority in the city there, they made way for him, they gave him space. And whenever he spoke, they all went, he's got something to say. Yep. And that's increasing in different ways. Through some of the things happening with the youth work and with United and the bus, some of the things with the lighthouse, the contact centre, the storehouse, and just things that are reaching out into people's lives. There's loads of other things going on. But there's the beginnings of, you know, we want to listen to you, or you've got something to say, or, you know, even if it's just at the point of the church is making a difference, or just the beginnings of something. I'm not standing up here saying, I don't want to overemphasize anything. But we need to understand what is going on and what's beginning to take place. And within all of that, we need to keep the right perspective in terms of our hearts and what God is actually doing. But this, I love this verse. My words fell gently on their ears. That God increasingly, in relationships that are developing with people in the community, the local authority, and in different or other organisations, that our words are going to be like soothing to people's ears. Because we're not coming with judgment or with condemnation or saying we've got all the answers and we can do this. But because of the actions, if you like, of all the different things going on, it's opening up doors and opportunities. They waited for me as for showers, verse 23, and drank in my words as the spring rain. This is where we're going. When I smiled at them, they scarcely believed it. The light of my face was precious to them. I don't know about you guys, but a number of people over the weekend, like the band who came on Friday night, you know, they're in that environment. They're like, man, this is just, what is this? You know, various phrases they said to different people. This has blown my concept of church. I can't believe that everybody is Christians and they're having a great, you know, everybody's really enjoying themselves, you know. How we can't equate rock and roll with a church. And those kind of things, you know. It's changing people's mindsets or perceptions. You know, the building, it doesn't look like a church building and all of that. Over the weekend, a number of people I spoke to on Saturday at the fun day, just full of thanksgiving, if you like, or whatever, however they worded it, about the whole day being free, something for the community, people they've brought their friends to, and now they've kind of come every year now because of what it is. It's like there's something that is, and why you could, and this verse here, when I smiled at them, they scarcely believed it. And that's a lot of it. You know, when we meet people out there and we come across as normal, everyday people, they're like, they can scarcely believe that what they're coming across is church or Christianity or you represent God and all that kind of thing because of their perception of God or their perception of church. And so increasingly out there, they can scarcely believe what they're finding because it's so different to what maybe they've seen on the telly or just the kind of thinking that is out there. And the light of my face was precious to them. I chose the way for them and sat as their chief. I dwelt as a king among his troops. I was like one who comforts mourners. For me, you know, at the moment, I've had a lot of people, you know, ask me questions about obviously what's going on in Florida and all of that kind of stuff. And it's awesome, isn't it, what's going on there. And I, for me, I've been like, God, you know, the thing that is buzzing me at the moment is, I mean, we can have some awesome meetings, can't we? You know, I'm not saying we know how to do those things, but we in one sense, hear me in the right way here, we know how to have a great meeting. In this, I don't mean we know how to get somewhere, but we know if we press in there with God and worship God and we're really just focused, the presence of God, and, you know, we want to make space for God to move, we can see people healed and all of that. And, you know, we could have some phenomenal meetings on Sundays, we could have some phenomenal times at faith camp and all of that. But the thing that is buzzing me is not what happens on a Sunday. And I put it like this to somebody the other day. I said, Sundays are like the goalposts. You know, but it's what happens in between the goalposts that is making me just, yeah, God's on the move. Because you can have some phenomenal meetings and say God's on the move, but it's what happens between the goalposts that determines whether you win or not. Do you know what I mean? The Sundays can establish the stakes in the ground. This is who we are. This is, you know, and all of that, and determine certain things and even determine the size of the goal. Right? But it's what goes on in the week and what God's doing in people's lives. It's like, that's where the victory's being established. So that's where the goals are being scored. And for me, it's like, people say, what do you think about Lakeland? It's like, blooming awesome, fantastic, and all of that. But, I, you know, for me, what's buzzing me is not, you know, are we going to have an awesome Sunday or how's God going to move this Sunday? Brilliant, fine. But for me, it's like, what's going to happen during the week this week? What's going to happen in people's lives this week? What breakthroughs are we going to hear about? What healings, what miracles, what life-changing, what is going on? That's the thing. I don't know what you're looking for or what you're hoping for. But for me, it's like, it's what happens between the goalposts. How big the net is going to bulge, do you know what I mean? And how many goals are going to be scored? How many lives are going to get changed? And for me, that's what we want to celebrate.
Right, absolutely.
That's what I'm looking for, a greater increase of goals being scored, victories being won in people's lives. Right? So the stronger the dynamic of life that we have, which in one sense is determined by what can happen on Sunday or when we gather together, you know, all of that does determine the strength of spirit, the dynamic of faith, and all of that kind of thing. That determines how strong the posts are, how wide we can stretch them so that it makes more room for what God wants to do on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, all of that kind of stuff. So I'm not looking for a Sunday revival. Or a Sunday, oh, it's awesome because of what, you know, we're really moving now because of what's happening on a Sunday. Great, what's happening on a Sunday or whatever, you know. Yes, the other Sunday was awesome on Sunday. I had a whole list of what we had to do and think, how are we going to make this? You know, it's just a list of stuff. But yet God was in it all, and it was a great time. People got healed and sorted, and people got honoured and blessed, and we heard some great testimonies and whatever. But it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. That's what is buzzing me. Because the first question I've been asked by a lot of people, they ring me up or they, you know, and they're like, they ask the question, are your meetings like they are in Florida every Sunday now? That's the first question they ask, you know, are you having a revival like that? And it's like, well, I don't know, you know, whatever, you know. But for me, it's like, so what's happening in your church? And what people want to know is what's happening in the meetings. So what's happening in your church? And when I say, well, I don't talk about Sundays. It's like, well, this is what's happening. We got this thing, it's called this, and we're reaching those people. We got this for the young people, and this is happening. We got this, and we got this for kids, and that's it. We have old people here, and this and that and the other. There's families, and this and that and the other. That's for me. That's what's happening in our church. If you want to say what's happening on your Sunday meeting, ask me that question. But if you're saying what's happening in your church, then it's like, well, this is what's going on in the life of who we are. Amen. People's lives are being stretched. People's lives are being encouraged. Yeah, there's loads of challenges. There always will be. And there will be a few issues here and there. There always will be. But we're not focusing on those. We want to deal with those on the way and all of that. But it's what's breaking out and what God is doing that's important.
Absolutely.
And so for me, it's like, right, what are we treading on? What are we putting our foot on, the footprint, getting hold of that bow, pulling it up and saying, right, this is what we're aiming at. That's what we're hitting. That's what, for me, it's all about. The prayer, this fangs thing and everything, how much can we stretch out? How much more capacity can we determine? There's two types of praying. There's one is, God, we're doing this, would you bless it? And you'll be frustrated. You'll never quite see what you really want to see. But as if you say, right, the prayer determines the capacity of what we're going to see, and we're that size within it, but because we're determining this, then boom, that's what we're stepping into. Not, God, would you bless what we're doing so we see if something happen. But prayer isn't, God, bless us in what we're doing. Prayer is like, right, now we're pushing back, extending the tent pegs, the whatever it is in Isaiah 54, they're all the different ropes and pegs and panels and all of that sort of stuff that are in there. That's what the prayer does, determines that lot. And then God's going to bless us in what we're doing then, if we're doing what he wants us to be doing, to fill out the space of what's being determined in the Spirit. All right?
Amen.
Get on your feet then. Come on.
That's good.
So Kingdom Faith, we're on a mission. God's reviving the vision, reviving purpose, reviving some things and just getting our focus even more specific in terms of what he's calling us to do, seeing established take place, putting his kingdom down. If we understand that's what the dynamic of worship is about, then it helps us. Oh, it's not just another bit of singing in tongues or not another bit of this. It's like, God, I'm getting hold of heaven this morning and I'm pulling heaven down on earth. It's life, isn't it? And it's not just for us, it's about extending the borders, stretching out our tents and our tent pegs and our ropes and lines and putting a stake in the ground. That's again partly what the worship's doing, because it's linked in with the prayer and the spiritual dynamic of extending our borders and putting heaven down on earth, so that then what happens between the goalposts, as it were, is going to have even greater impact, greater effect, greater fruitfulness in people's lives. Amen. Let's just lift our hands to the Lord. Thank him that he has caught you up. He has brought you into whatever he's doing here.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you,
Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Sorry, what's it called? Time. All right. So I've got to watch it. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Praise your name. Awesome Lord. Awesome Lord. Awesome Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Matt and Rowan, can you just come up here a minute? I just want to pray for you. I just believe that, you know, you've been involved in one generation of time here, and with what God's doing with you now when you go over to Bosnia, it's what we've just talked about is what you represent and what you take into what you're doing. And can you just turn this down a bit so that it's not so hongy or whatever? Thanks. Hongy, it's a good word, isn't it? Hongy anointing. But what you're going into is you're going to establish something that's not there at the moment. There's the thoughts of certain things that some of the people are wanting to see, and there's the desire there. But because of what God has built into your lives, and because of what, in one sense, you represent, you know, and us sending you as well, you're going to take a whole nother dynamic of faith, of life, of breakthrough into that nation. You know, because it's about a nation. It's not just about going and working with an organization to do a few things. It's about going into a nation to see that change. And you've given yourself in one generation of time here, but now God's, it's like now for you, you're stepping into a whole new generation of time where you're going to begin to see things coming out of your life and through your lives that you haven't seen here in one sense. But because the canopy is being extended over your lives and what God wants to do, it's like in some ways you're going to feel at times very small in relation to the size of what you have on your heart, what God wants to do, and some of the size of what's being talked about. And you're going to feel like, you know, but yet at the same time, God says, yeah, but that's the canopy. That's the size that I'm stretching out over your lives. And so it's going to give space to grow into and expand into in a fresh way. So spiritually, it's going to be an expansion in terms of the use of the giftings and all the skills you've got. There's going to be a whole new expansion of those things, and you're going to see a much greater fruitfulness in all of those things and how they affect the people that you're going to be working with, but also the people you're going to be reaching and all of that kind of thing. And also that scripture where it talks about the gift making way for the giver. That God has placed certain giftings upon both of you together that are going to just open up the way to begin to give, you know, for the giver, for you then to bring things into these situations and into that nation. And God's going to just show you some things, give you a bit of a blueprint also for things, how they need to be, how to move things forward. You're going to find you have wisdom for what is going to be taking place, you know, in and through your lives. But this kind of, here's one generation at a time, and now you're coming into a new one, and it's going to, you're just going to be stepping up, because it's time to do that. It's time to step up into a whole new level, a new dimension of what God has got for you. And that whole scripture this morning, God's just going to give you a favor with people in authority there, like Job. You know, they shut their mouths when he was around, because it's like, well, when we talk, it sounds all right. But then when those people come into it, we sound like we don't know what we're talking about. But when they come in, they always have something to say. It's full of wisdom. Their words are just so soothing to our ears, because they come with something where suddenly hope seems possible. Things become a reality and all of that. Anyway, I'm just that, all that kind of stuff. So let's just pray for these guys, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, Jesus. Father, we thank you that you are redefining the boundaries for Matt and Rowan, that you're redrawing the territory and now positioning them in the next few months into that territory that you're drawing for them to be in, the land that you are wanting to possess, the lives that you're wanting to impact and change as a result of them being positioned in that land. Father, I thank you that you are going to enable them to, like the bow, to put their foot on the bow, as it were, the tread there, as it were, and to pull up that bowstring to the full capacity and to set themselves to hit the target that you want to fulfill through their lives and through Novi Mos and all those who are going to be working with in Bosnia and those other nations around there, Father. Father, I thank you for just the anointing right now of your Holy Spirit coming upon them in a fresh way, Father. Even though we're not sending them out yet, Father, I thank you for the anointing of your Spirit afresh. that new release, that greater capacity, extending the borders, extending the boundaries of their spirit, extending the canopy over their lives, increasing, Father, what you have established in them. But now it's a time of release for everything you placed in them in a new way, Father. I thank you for that stretching. I thank you for that increase. I thank you for the release of everything, Father, for Rowan also, that you placed in their lives, making a footprint in that nation, Father, establishing something in that nation. Father, I thank you for the increase, the growth, the acceleration that's going to come through their lives. I thank you both spiritually and practically as they obey what you command them to be doing. I thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for the release of all the provision they need so that finances won't even be an issue and something they have to deal with and contend with and have to try and work with each month. Father, I thank you for the release of more than they need, Father, so they can just fully concentrate on everything that you place before them. It's going to take enough faith to go with to what you've got in front of them, let alone having to believe for money. So, Father, I thank you for the release of everything they not just need, but so that they live in abundance and have stuff to give away and put into people's hands and lives. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Just pray in the Spirit now. Whether you're part of directly working with the church here and the Kingdom of Faith here, or whether you're from another church or another situation, God is wanting to extend the canopy where you are. He wants to expand and extend your borders to fill out the territory that he has given. The size of the territory was much bigger than the tent. And God wants to extend the tent to fill out the borders, to fill out the territory that he has given. So what we are possessing is fills out the territory. Father, and that starts in your spirit, first of all. That starts within you, first of all. The size of what you possess is determined by the size of what is already in you. So just pray in the Spirit right now. Just extend the capacity of your borders a little bit. Extend your tent pegs out for a few minutes. Let the Holy Spirit stretch you a little bit right now in your spirit for a greater capacity of fruitfulness, for a greater capacity of life, of those being added. Let's just widen the goalpost for a few minutes right now. Widen the goalpost. Widen the goalpost. Stretch them out. Stretch them out right now for greater fruitfulness in every aspect of Kingdom Faith, in every aspect of the church that you're leading, wherever, whatever you're doing. Stretch your goalposts out right now. Increase the capacity of what's going to happen Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, just one thing. That phrase about my glory, it says, will be fresh, will be new. And we've linked that in with the worship. And just thinking about every way in which we're reaching out into people's lives, whether it's in the community, the 25-mile radius, in the nation, wherever it is, other nations. Why is the glory so important? Because there's something about the presence of God that then goes before us. So when somebody walks into the contact center on a Saturday, something of the presence of God begins to come upon them and works in them. When the bus goes out into a village, something of the presence of God, as soon as a young person comes near the thing or steps on the thing, something of the presence of God is released to begin to work in their lives and disarm them and begin to break down things in their lives so that their hearts open up. In the lighthouse, why is the glory of God so important? Because when people come anywhere near the thing, anywhere near Sue or Jess or any of those that are working with all of those people, whatever day of the week it is, the presence of God then begins to affect. It's not somebody's presence of sickness or mental disorder or physical ailment that affects us. It's the other way around. It's not somebody's depression that comes to us and says, I'm depressed, and you can't breach this circle of depression around me. Why do we want to bring the glory down so that when somebody who's full of depression or issues that come around us, it's the presence of God around us that invades and goes into that area of depression and pushes it back, and the presence of God works in their life instead. Our spirit overcomes their spirit and what's going on in them. That's what we're talking about. The Spirit of God in us overtakes or overcomes whatever is around somebody else's life. You can pick any ministry, any outreach, anything that is going on, and bring the same principle into that. That the glory is so important, not just so that we have God amongst us on a Sunday, is so that the presence of God is then revealed through us every day of the week in whatever we're doing. Our neighbors get affected. People that come into our homes, when we meet people in the shops, when you're buying your milk or you're getting a chocolate bar or you're filling your car up with really good expensive fuel and all of that sort of stuff, that it's a blessing at the end of the day. When you go and pay for it, you're not like, blimmin' heck, this is costing me 10 quid more to fill my tank up than it was 3 months ago, and here's my card and, you know, shove it on there. When we go in there, it's like we're not victims of that. We're going in there with a smile on our face. Happy are those that trust in the Lord. So whenever we go, we're a blessing, the presence of God. The life of God is released in everything that is going on. Somebody phones up, the way you talk to them, they're like, they're your best mate. And even if they're having a go at you because we didn't phone them back, the whatever, or we don't make quite do what we said we were going to do, and somebody's having a go, then just rejoice and bless them. It's like, overtake their spirit with something else. When you're replying to an email, overtake whatever's going on with the way it comes across. If you're putting something in an envelope and it's going in the post, lay your hands on it so that it goes with the presence of God. Whether you're in a meeting, talking through stuff to organize something, bring a right spirit into that so it's a meeting of victory and it goes somewhere and it gets everything done, rather than here's another meeting about this and we're going round again with this one. Let's just cut all that off and say, right, here we go. We're going in to get an answer, to get through something, to make decisions, to move things forward, to break out and extend the territories and the borders of everything that God has called us to. When you go to your life group and you're part of that, you're going to invade lives, to extend lives, to expand lives, and to be a blessing into the other people's lives that we're sharing life with. That got a hearty amen. So, you know, because we're sharing life with others and we're blessed with the life that we have. So in everything we do and think in every way, it's time to expand our borders. Every place we go, we are setting our foot, making a footprint, establishing something, putting a bow there, setting ourselves there. We're going to hit the target in everything that God has called us to. Faith Camp is going to be the most incredible week we've ever had in the Peterborough Showground. It's going to be simply awesome because we're going, saying we're going to bend that bow. We're going to set our foot, make that footprint, pull the thing back as far as it will jolly well go, and hit the target in every age group, in every venue, in every life. Oh, in everything that's going on. This coming Bible school year in the autumn, it's going to be the best Bible school year we have ever, ever had. We're pulling back the bow. We're setting ourselves to train, equip, and ascend people like we never have before, to go out to affect lives in every area of society. Because that's the apostolic call upon us, is to train, equip, and send into every sphere of life, whether this nation or other nations. God's just sharpening us all up, saying, come on, I'm heating the tip up, I'm sharpening the whole thing up for fresh breakthrough, for greater fruitfulness, greater effectiveness in every aspect of life. in every area that I've called you to. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. Awesome, Lord. Awesome, Lord. Awesome, Lord. Awesome, Lord. Awesome, Lord. You know, more and more, everything we do as Kingdom Faith increasingly is going to be aimed at those that don't know Jesus. And when I'm not just talking about doing evangelism. As we press into God, there's loads of churches that new relationships that are developing and all of that. But when you talk to a lot of these guys that want to relate more, I don't mean like officially relate and so they sign something. Lots of guys just want to be in relationship with. And there's lots of to and fro in terms of phone calls and emails and all of that kind of stuff going on and people, you know, connecting with different guys. But it's just interesting. A lot of the people that want to relate to us now or be in relationship is because of what's beginning to happen with them in their towns, in their communities, and what they're beginning to see God do. And their thinking and whole heart is impacting and influence. It's not just, how do I have a better Sunday meeting? Or how can I crank up my praise and worship a bit more? Or how can I do, you know, I mean, that's all, you know, fine. That's all part of the whole thing. But people wanted to connect because they're like, man, we want to see our city impacted, our town impacted, our region impacted. God seems to put the same thing on our hearts as you. There's a connection there because of where we're going and where they're going. And there's a connection, a joining up of people around the country in different ways. And some of these guys are thinking in different ways. There's a freshness about them and all of that. And it's exciting what God is doing. And increasingly, everything that we do is going to be geared to seeing the nation change, the region change, the regions in our nation change, the community, the town. And all of that impacted. That God, one of the things God's trying to do over these last two or three years as Kingdom Faith, and internally what he's trying to get us to do as a team, is us to get us out of a ministry thinking that we're here now to Kingdom Faith ministry, which, not that we officially have Kingdom Faith ministry anyway, but that we're not here just for the church anymore, to resource the church and to bless the church. Man, everything we do will resource the church. That's why everything we do is free on the website, and we chuck so much stuff up there because we just want to resource, we want to bless and all of that kind of thing. And but at the same time, it's like everything we actually do ourselves, Monday to Saturday, in between the whole lot, is increasingly to impact society, impact the community, impact lives. And it's not just evangelism, it's the whole ethos, the whole way we think and what we're about, and the whole culture of what we're about is to equip, train and release people into having effect and impact and influence in different ways. So that's going to challenge all of our thinking. And every one of us on the team here, every one of us needs to be involved in something that is affecting people's lives. I know some of you directly are involved in more people-related ministry because of what your role is. And therefore, it's a bit easier maybe to kind of see how lives are being changed through what you're doing. If you're on the pastoral side of things, or you're involved in a particular ministry like Storehouse or Lighthouse or some other thing, the contact where it's much more people connecting. But if you're not involved in a people connecting thing, then I want to encourage you to get involved in a people connecting, people touching aspect of of what is going on, because that's where you'll begin to see a release of life. That's where, you know, you'll need to step out in faith. That's where you'll see the fangs of whatever broken off and all of those things taking place. To get involved in something, if you're not involved in a people contacting, people changing kind of situation, then just, we got a booklet of all sorts of things you can get involved in. Find something and get involved in it and give yourself to something and see what happens. Because every one of us needs to have an outlet to see people change. And I'm talking about not just join the worship team and getting to, you know, sing on stage on a Sunday. I'm talking about something that touches unsaved people in some way, that's week in, week out. And, you know, we've got loads of stuff going on. So connect yourself and see what God can do through you. You'll have such a great outlet That well, that river that we're all tapped into, man, it'll gush up and gush out. And we just got to make a connection between us and somebody, and there'll be a release. It just happens. It's just happening. That's how it seems to be at the moment. You touch God, you touch somebody else, and boom, something seems to take place in somebody's life. There's an ease coming, an easiness about it coming in one sense, that is just a freshness and a newness in terms of what God is doing. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.